I don't know what else to say.
No more talking.
All right. We're going to go in order of the questions. So we need one or two feedback from this wedge, from this slice of the pie right here. Who wants to... Your question was, what is build and how would you explain build? Which question did you guys, where did you guys land? In the second question or first question? First question? Oh, Darren's got it.
All right,
Darren.
How I explain build in its most basic form began 30, 40 years ago through connection with Keith Cook's wife's family in India, and seeing how in India pastors or men would leave their villages and towns to come to the Western seminaries to be trained, and 4 or 5 years later, they'd return, maybe. But just seeing a real need to develop and train leaders in the context of their own local churches
okay.
is where build developed.
All right. Training leaders in the context of their own churches. All right. Anything these two tables/row of chairs want to add? Nancy does. You did a very basic one. Yeah? And it's brand new to her. So what's a very basic one?
So build stands for Biblical Institute of Leadership Development. So we train leaders in the Bible, and they train their people and establish strong churches.
Yeah. You could do that if you got in an elevator at first floor and went to the fourth. Yeah. All right. How about second question? Series of questions. How does build relate to the City Church Ames Des Moines? Yes. Yes, Sean. Sean wants to stick on the first question. Does David Haley, do you want to tackle Sean's question? Sure. Oh, hurry, Tim, hurry. I hope you had your coffee this morning, Tim.
So I think Matt already answered the question, yes. No.
What was the question, David? Repeat it so we can...
The answer was, the question was, is build like a curriculum? Is it a team? Is it a philosophy? And I think that it's, there is a team, that works, with the organization, an apostolic team. There is a curriculum, that was born out of, our study of the scriptures that, goes along with that, and with that a philosophy as well that undergirds that curriculum. It's hard to explain, simply because we're so entrenched in it, but the essence of it is, to Darren's point on, training leaders in the context of ministry, it wasn't just something that we said, hey, it's not convenient for that to happen. We looked at the scriptures, looked at the way that Paul trained Timothy and trained other leaders in the context of ministry, and out of that developed a philosophy and a way of structuring programs to help do that in kind of a modern paradigm.
It wasn't just out of convenience. We looked at the model left in the New Testament and said that's the model we want to follow. All right, Don, we're up to you. Second question, how does Build relate to the city church?
I went back one step farther and said that we were training leaders in this church, and we saw a need in other parts of the world, and so then we shared our resources with other parts of the world so that they could train leaders and their people.
So out of our own need,
starting with Jeff, actually.
Jeff needed training. Graduated from high school, but didn't go to a seminary and needed training from the elders.
Yes. And then we helped other churches. After we went to India, we helped other churches in the U.S. train their leaders as well. And then we've done work around the world. And so this is our mission ministry outside of this church.
Uh-huh. So is it fair to say the same thing we're doing in this church is what we're going around and doing with other churches?
That's what we're trying to accomplish.
That's really important. Okay, the third set of questions. Paul's team. What did Paul's team do? What did Paul and his team do? This one assumes and demands James Allen.
Apparently I'm answering this question.
James Allen Riley.
We decided that was the Pauline cycle.
You decided Pauline cycle.
Yeah.
What is the Pauline cycle? That sounds ominous.
Well, what it boils down to is they went around and they gathered folks together. They proclaimed the gospel, gathered these peoples into groups, which then became churches. They then established these churches by teaching them the first principles of the faith. They helped develop a leadership team inside that church, left that leadership team to raise up inside the church and run it. And then they traveled in and out of it as needed to continue to put in order things that got wonky or...
Wonky.
Wonky. That's our
word. Is that in 1 Corinthians?
That's our biblical word for that. In Greek, it looks different. And that's what they did. They helped create churches and then moved in and out of them and established things as they were needed.
Okay, so Paul's team proclaimed the gospel. People who heard it and believed it, they gathered into churches. Those churches they established somehow in the faith, and then they had they trained and established leaders over those churches. Which you can tie back directly to what Don says. If that's what our church is doing locally, is following that, and if we're trying to do that around the world, then this is what Paul's team did, then we're modeling ourselves after what Paul's team... Okay.
And then Jay wants me to say they were doing theology and culture.
And Jay wants you to say they were doing theology and culture. The idea of establishing, yeah. Yeah, all these things should for you, they should... Well, I'm hoping you can... Just move the needle just 1 degree this morning as some of these puzzle pieces can fit together more. Because this is one beautiful puzzle. But there's all these little pieces sometimes I think we get lost in. All right. What about the fourth question? Big vision.
Okay, I'll take the big vision for a little bit. You know, the main thing that they're doing is they move in and out and train groups of leaders who already are involved in ministry to go back to their groups and train them in what the materials are. But the other thing is that they do have, or we do have, a set of curriculum that has been translated into a lot of languages that enables them to do, really like Don was saying, about the same thing we do here at this church.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's really good. You should be taping this. Okay. No, not now. All right. What is the practical side? And I hate, there's not a division in between the big vision and practical, but I do want, what does it look like on the ground when you're actually out in the field? This is the field too, but. Aaron is negotiating. Dave is avoiding eye contact. Brian is laughing, and Bob is raising his hand. Bob.
Well, it doesn't start with when they're out in the field. It starts with the materials that we develop. As Jeff teaches here, he's developing materials to be used throughout here, but throughout the whole network. Materials as in Bill working to help translate scripture. So we're providing resources and materials. Then as they're out in those networks, knocking heads came up, helping keep some of these networks on course, helping them to develop their own vision, and helping them develop their own strategies, teaching them how to teach, how to train their leaders and their networks.
Mm-hmm. Can everybody hear that? Yeah, Keith.
I also was thinking then about the international conference we have in the fall,
yeah,
where we bring a lot of these leaders here and work with them here, and they get to experience what's going on at the church, which a lot of them are really, really interested in. But in addition to that, we also bring in a lot of church leaders from around the U.S. that then they can connections with and help with their ministry overseas as well, by some of those guys going in and doing some of the training on their own then to different groups.
I'm going to show lots of videos. Come over here to Aaron. This is all we're going to do this morning. But there's a lot of videos that, a couple of videos I took from my phone on my 3-week journey of people saying exactly that, Keith, of how impacted they are by coming here and actually seeing it happen. They see Jeff wave his hands and say, this is what it is. They see Steve come in and say, do this in the school. And they see me kind of do this and this. But when they can actually come to your house, I know you've heard this before, but it is impactful. Aaron?
I guess I just wanted to say that the use some big words, right? One thing, Bill, is a philosophy, and that's part of the effort on the ground, is to articulate the original tradition of the way of Christ and the apostles, how the original church was expanded and basically the blueprint for doing so, which is articulating that and arguing for that paradigm.
Yep. That's a good way to say it. There's a blueprint that is left for us in the New Testament. There's a blueprint left for us in the New Testament, and we are trying to follow that blueprint. We're going to have another, if we have time, we'll have another discussion. But so I want to start this way, a summary of Paul's work. You could say he did these three things. For some of you, you're familiar with that complex apostolic networking, one single page, it's got nodes, a little church, single churches here, and then cluster of churches here, and then a hubs of church, hub centers here, and then it's got an apostolic team that stirs amongst. Some of you look at me with puzzled faces, some of you know what I'm talking about. But I've always wondered, what in the world does that apostolic team in the bottom left-hand corner, what do they actually do? What do they actually do? I think this is, if you look at Paul's work, he did a lot, and him and his team did a lot of things, but you could summarize Paul's work by these three things. He gave them a sense of becoming a large network. He built a communication network. He sent them letters, and he sent them people in and out of these situations. That's a communication network. And he built common practices into these churches that link them together across the world. So they could get together for Love Feast. They could get together and have some of the same language across the entire network. So Paul gave them a sense of becoming a large network, built a communication network, and built common practices into these communities. I'm not going to prove these by going into all the scripture passages that show these, but these are the three things he did. Build is a team that's modeled after Paul's team. That's what Don said is what this slide is saying, that it's the we very diligently structured ourselves to look and feel and be like modeled after Paul's team, because that's what we believe. Aaron said the blueprint. We exist to train networks of leaders or network leaders. Indigenous network leaders. The other thing we talk about is we want to shape the next paradigm of Christianity, turning today's churches back to the model found in the first 300 years, summarized as the way of Christ and His apostles. So we really believe that the church has to get back to the model found in the New Testament. And we haven't been, the church, historical church, hasn't revisited that first 300 years since we left it. So that's a monumental task. But that's really what we believe that our stewardship is. And I hope when I say our, I hope you realize that's, you're all playing a different role in it, but that's our stewardship as a family. Okay, don't hit play yet. This is a video that was made at last year's conference, and this is a video that's supposed to go up on our new website, which isn't there yet. But this is a video Nate and I just got a week ago, and it's supposed to explain what Build is. So the guy came to the conference. He was a guy at one of the churches out in Boston. Came to the conference, set up for 3 days, set up all this equipment. And made this, he made 6 videos for us, and this is one of them. So if you're brand new or you don't know who Build is, see if in a minute and a half this helps. Go ahead and hit it.
Stands for Biblical Institute of Leadership Development. Basically, it is a training strategy for developing leaders in the context of the church or in the context of a network of churches.
We are a network that wants to see the early church model come alive today and be implemented.
You know, we're just going back to the way the New Testament informs us on the models and the ways of doing it.
I saw a transformation in leadership occurring in networks and churches that I had not seen before. That caught my attention pretty big time.
It helped us to bring the mission and strategy back to the church.
It is not simply acquiring knowledge, but developing yourself as a person, in your character, in your skills of ministry.
Bill has helped me to integrate my life and my call in the Word of God.
It doesn't focus on knowledge transfer. It focuses on the application of God's Word to your everyday life.
It just helps them live out their walk with Christ in a very practical way.
I'd like to think today that even if no degrees were involved, that we would have enough presence of mind to get involved. The training is just that good.
Training that's going on the job, in service, not removed from the context of the church.
The training itself is immediately usable in their ministries and their churches. It's just brilliant.
Every student in Build is reading something, they're writing something. They're listening to other positions, they're having to articulate their own position and defend it, and then they're teaching other people the material that they're learning. They do all those things, actually does penetrate. It becomes transformative.
There is no more effective or efficient thing for someone to do in ministry than train leaders.
What we give you an opportunity to do is lay a completely different foundation for your ministry, to be able to create solutions, the kinds of solutions that will count for eternity.
Okay, so that's the video. I think that's going to be a good improvement to what we have for videos on the website now. Isn't that funny? That's funny. Boy, tough family. I still think that's a funny joke, Sean Barber. All right. Build, we've explained Build as a philosophy, a curriculum, and a network. I think that's when you get away, the first initial slice that you guys talked about, that was a good way to explain it. As soon as you have to peel back one more layer, okay, that sounds really good, but what does that really mean? As soon as you have to pull back one more layer of, or get into more depth, we're a philosophy, and the philosophy is the way of Christ and his apostles. I like to abbreviate it as TWCA, but the way of Christ and his apostles, getting back, that's the philosophy, getting back to the first 300 years, to the model laid out for us in Acts and the rest of the New Testament. That's the philosophy. Curriculum is the resources that Don was talking about that were created to, initially, to train Jeff. Then it was some of the work in India to train those leaders, and now it's mushroomed into what we have, first principles, leadership series, combination of the two is accredited and can be in the school. So, but it's a curriculum. It's resources and actually tools for other leaders to get their head around it without us sitting there, that they can read it and write it and articulate it for themselves. We're a network. So we're a way of Christ and his apostles network around the world that God's called to in this time and place for us to go through these processes together. We're a network. And so like Paul did, we have to communicate. We've got to pull us together, give everyone a sense that they belong to a larger network. Build is the work of the City Church of Ames, Des Moines. We are the same family. And I can, this is my phrase. This is me doing theology and culture, Jay. But I consider everyone everywhere to be the family. So what I mean by that is, when I go visit these networks, they are our family. They're part of the network. And they have, you know what all their struggles are, to Don's point, of all their struggles of implementing this, the way of Christ and his apostles in their network churches, you know what the main problems are? The exact same ones that we have. They're exactly the same. People, you know, the schedules, people, you know, our schedules of time, the balance of intention in between when to have kids, when not to have kids, your work life, balancing your family life, and then you got and all those things they're trying to, well, how do I have time for this? And what about finances? We never have enough money. Never have enough money to do what they want to do. Never. Never. And this is not the way my parents think about it, or this is not the way my grandparents think about it, or this is not the way all those struggles. I talked with a guy, and a pastor, and he thought his job was, as soon as people got a little bit more mature, he was supposed to kick them out because he thought that was competition to them taking over his church. And then he starts going through the resources, the curriculum, and he realizes, oh, that those people have a name. They're called Timothys and Tituses, and I'm actually supposed to embrace them and train them. Oh. So for 10 years, even kicking them out of the church. All right. So our field of work is local, national, and global work, and it's occurring all the time. All the time. It's always happening. It never rests. Okay. So I want to give you some insight, and I want to do the, you know, the questions about big vision of what Build actually does when we're out in those fields, and then practically what do we actually do, those practically in big vision. I want to show you some of my journey. I was gone for about 22 days. I mean, who's counting? But on day 16, I began to count. It was a long journey. I think 16 days is my maximum I should plan with a young family, but I met with 35 networks, 35 different networks, and about 75 actually, I looked at it this morning, 75 different leaders that lead those 35 networks. These would be our top tier partners that have been with us for an extended period of time, and I got together with them in clusters. I clustered them together, we clustered them together, and in four different groups. So there's about six to ten networks represented per group. And I was going to show you Google Maps, but because spatially it really, but we're not going to do it, I don't think. So I'm just going to wave my arms, and you're going to have to pretend you understand. But I went to North India, Delhi is where I started. This is North Delhi. Up here, I flew Minneapolis, Paris, nine and a half hour flight. Then you wait in Paris for 3 hours, and then you go to Delhi, which is about a about 8 hour, 55 minute flight. Who's counting? But to Delhi, and then Delhi, then from there I went to Pune, which is in central India. It's about a 2.5 hour flight to there. And then Pune, central India, the reason I'm giving you all these details is because you don't realize how big India actually is. How big that part. Growing up, I always thought, there's a small part of the world. No, there's a huge. Then went from Pune, India, to southern India, which is Chennai. It's on the eastern coast. And then from there, I went to Bangkok, which is a 1 a.m. flight. Who's counting, John? It's a 3 hour flight to Bangkok. I was in Bangkok. Then I flew back to Chennai again. And then Chennai had some work there for 3 days. And then Chennai had to go back to Delhi because I had to pick up some special medicine things, which that's a different story. So I flew back to Delhi and then finally flew back home. So I was on a plane every third or fourth day on this 3 week journey. But I want to show you, let's see, what's the next slide? Okay, so while I was there, some of you have seen these videos, but these, you know the videos you just saw? This is nothing like that video, because I made this in my hotel room, okay? And it is, what I'm trying to do is summarize what happened at these meetings. I should have just used this map, by the way. There's Delhi right there. So this is what happens at these meetings. So I hope what you see in here is big vision, but also some of the practical things that happen. So go ahead and hit play on this one.
Just finishing up 2 days of meetings with networks across India.
Oh, this is
as I drive to the meeting, I see barrels on the backs of bikes and cows in the town square right in the middle.
They don't have town squares.
And I see a bunch of bikes and bike helmets all
squares.
And the riders. When I get to the meeting, I'm excited for what the 2 days is going to bring working with these church networks. In these meetings, we've got about 7 church networks that have all come together from different traditions and backgrounds. And we get together. They each present their strategy and their plans. We talk about best practices and setting goals and executing on those plans. Each network stands up and presents to the group for a time, and then there's a period of discussion afterwards on refining and getting clarity on the strategy. As these network leaders present, I'm always amazed at the amount of opportunity they have. 22,500 elders in this man's network. That he's training right now. I always think about our work in back home and what's our elder training look like back home. This guy's got 1 million grassroots leaders that he's pursuing. This leader's launching 500 new leaders and 1,500 new small groups in the next 6 months. This leader is working in 225 districts and 320 different people groups. Around. And as people present and they can talk about this and get refinement have discussion about it, because these are the people that are in the same work. They're working on 33 languages, new Bibles in this particular group. The discussion afterwards and during lunch and breaks and tea time is always a time for further discussion. It's amazing. You get different, you get younger group, a young church planting movements in here, and then you've got the older and more established who have been around for 40 years planting churches. And this group has planted tens of thousands of churches and partnered with other partners who have planted thousands of churches. So the opportunity is just so great. It's been my role to take these partners and pull them together and create alignment and one-mindedness and talk about strategy and plans and It's been exciting to me to see in the past year the growth and opportunity that exists across the network. So at the end, we gather for a few pictures and say farewell, and into the ends of the earth we go.
Okay, so that was the Delhi. That's what happened in Delhi. I'm not going to show you my trip in central India, because that video is just terrible. But actually, it's not terrible, but terrible enough I don't want to show it. So then I went to, this will be the Chennai cluster meeting, working with network leaders. Go ahead, Jim.
The last couple days, I've been in meetings in Chennai, India, meeting with networks from all over southern India. And again, these meetings are full of large networks, traditional networks, and new postmodern church planning networks as well. The days are always full of lots of conversation. Each network leader presents their plan and strategy. No matter if the network has tens of thousands of churches or they're a new postmodern church planning movement, the barriers and problems that they're overcoming between them all are often always the same. I was really encouraged in these particular set of meetings because as the days went on, young and old, large and small networks, a one-mindedness.
Oh, no, go. I'm sorry, I screwed it up. Go back. And just hit it again.
The last couple days of churches, or their new postmodern church planning movement, the barriers and problems that they're overcoming between them all are often always the same. I was really encouraged in these particular set of meetings because as the days went on, young and old, large and small networks, a one-mindedness really begins to grow because the work is the same. Long-term impact is only had through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Citywide impact is through strong churches. And strong churches have strong leaders. Large and small, traditional, non-traditional, we can all come together, and that's the work we're all about.
Okay, what I wanted to, you know what I found out when making these? Bill actually pointed out to me, I'm sure you all know this already, but I didn't realize I put so much emphasis on the word work and to pronunciate the K really hard. How come nobody told me? Nobody told me. You're supposed to be my family. You're supposed to tell me things that are super embarrassing, and nobody told me until I get to India, and then they're like, it was actually in the Pune meeting. It was Richard Thinnegren's guy. I can't remember his name, but he's like, "What you say? Network and work and." I was like, "No, I don't." Yes, you do. Anyway, nobody told me. That guy had to tell me. I don't even know his name. All right, so then I went to Bangkok. Bangkok was a different group because I had leaders from all over Asia. So in this video, I tried to show you what countries they were all from, but the problem is the video goes so fast you can't really read the words. So I apologize about that. But Nepal, Indonesia, Bangladesh, Myanmar, Mongolia, Nepal, did I say that? Cambodia. There's seven there. Anyway, that's the idea. So go ahead and play this one. This one's like a promo one. You can tell what frame of mind I'm in when I make these. There we go. Sri Lanka, that's the one I forgot. Australia, that's another one I forgot.
Thank you.
slow growth and small instructions. Actually, if you could pause that, I spent like 20 minutes on that last slide. I did. I ain't kidding. Can you push pause? There's like the storyline. I put the storyline is supposed to be a person's name, and I put the story, and authors. I put oh yeah. Look at this. A couple days in Bangkok, a promised plan film. Yeah. Meeting together in Bangkok, edited by Abraham, David, and Paul. Production designer, The Coming Kingdom. Director of photography, The Spirit. Casting by The Build Partners. Music by Somebody Pretty Good. Costume designer, It's a Family. Executive producer, The Messiah. Written by Luke, directed by The Promised Plan. It flashes up there for 2 seconds, so you can't see it, but I didn't realize when I make these, I didn't realize that was going to happen, so. Okay, here's some of the most impactful quotes I had when I was, I hope you pick up some of the big vision and some of the practical things that happened there, but if love is going to win, we have to love each other enough to solve each other's problems. This is theology and culture, this is rebuild, this is those two things, those two ideas that we've talked about. But when I heard this, this is exactly a perfect sentence for what we've been talking about. Oh, if love's actually going to win and you actually love each other enough, then actually do something to solve each other's problems. When I heard that from these network leaders, I thought, whoa. That's impactful. We have to do more than just believe. Please wake up. This was in the Bangkok group, actually. And I actually phrased it just a little bit different because there's actually a song I love called Gaucho that has this. If any of you know the Gaucho song, it actually has that phrase in it as well. But the other thing I heard, and this was that when I visited the slums in the shadow cities in Chennai, was once you know the story, it makes the good news really good. And this goes into Caleb's discussion last week, but without the context of the story, the good news doesn't have the fullness, as opposed to when you know that this has been happening since Adam, since Abraham. And that God's been up to this since then. And also in that slum, I had a guy come up to me afterwards. He said, my job as a taxi driver now makes sense. It counts for eternity. Who says that? But he came up and he said he had just got done with the life work booklet. That's what he called it. Life work booklet. So I didn't correct him that's not envisioning fruitful life work is actually what it's called. But he went through it and just impacted him. His he makes a little over a dollar a day, dollar and a half, he said. This is that church in the. I visited a couple churches about an hour north, by the way, of Chennai, and this is what one of those churches looks like, and. This was Abby Samuel's network, and I've told you this story before, but he brought together, I saw about 300 different church leaders that were represented over about a 9-hour period on this day. This is, and this was one of those pictures. men and women, children, young and old. Kids at those churches, you know what they want to do every time afterwards? Take selfies. It was just amazing to me how they're like, take a selfie. They don't know a lot of other English words, but that one made sense. I took this picture. This is Babu Rao's family. I had a great time with Babu Rao, but these women and girls talked about, I went to lunch with them, they talked about the impact that our church has had on them, and especially she talked about how it has affected her raising her girls, and about how she feels that part of her work is now part of Babu and his work and his vision for, he's doing an what's that cohort called that Jeff's doing with him, orality cohort, so we can get more leaders that are involved and more churches that are involved that have semi or illiterate people in them. And her husband's in leading that cohort. And just, I could go on and on about this one, but this was, I was leaving, I was quite kind of emotional, kind of depressed, and then I went with them and saw how an impact we're having on the individual families. It was very impactful. She was hoping to come this year to the summit. We'll see if that's a possibility. This was a slide that meant a lot to me as well, because I talk about plans and strategies. So then when I actually see people take the 30,000-foot vision and then actually put it in detailed form on their calendar, the work, then I just love seeing this kind of schedule. This I want to show. This is another video. You're like, oh my gosh, you're going on really long. But this is the Chennai group, and I want to mention this one because this is a group that's, I think they're all under 40 or close. And I spent about 3 full days with this team, and we just had I've connected with them multiple times. This is Chadwick Mohan's group in Chennai, in LAG Church. But, man, those 3 days really, really encouraged me. It was I think it was encouraging to them. We had such an impactful time. Actually, go to the next slide. We had such an impactful time. They took a picture and they made it into an oil painting type picture. And you see here, there's a baby there. There's a baby there. And there's a kid. You can't see two kids right back here. This is Chadwick. This is his wife. This is Nathan. They're 10. No, he's 11, I think. Nathan is 11. And so that we did that for 3 days. Kids crawling in and out of the room. Kids crying in and out of the room. But we talked about the story. We talked about Acts and Pauline. They talked about doing a citywide initiative. They're trying to get pastors from other churches in the city to be a part of this. A lot of the same stuff that we're talking about. So go back. And this is like a 13-second video, just how much fun it was. But go ahead and hit play.
Sure, yeah. Sunday you meet with me. You fight with James. Yeah, I have a lot of things.
All right. Why, you're like, that's not very funny, but it is funny because Santosh is that man, and Santosh is a big man. And I said to him, "You're twice the man you were when I was here last time." And he says, "That's right." So that's what he did. And so the whole 3 days, that was the big joke. Is every time I saw him, he looked at me and he goes, "That's funny." That's what families do together, is they make light of each other. All right. That's all I have to say. That's all I have to say. Let's do this. When you hear all that, what questions do you have? What questions come to your mind? I'm not gonna get you to gather and split you up into wedges again, but yeah. Question over here, Tim. You can be loud. We can make Tim run fast.
Is this on? Hello?
Hello.
I'm just curious, from meeting with the leaders and networks that you did during this trip, have you heard anything about if those church networks are able to reach with the gospel people who are unreached, like people groups of different languages who just have never heard the name of Jesus?
Yeah, good question. The question is do we know if they're reaching areas that have been unreached? Certainly in certain networks have more of a stewardship to that than other networks. The when I mentioned the pictures in the shadow cities there where the men women were on the left side and the women were on the right side, that particular group, their almost sole purpose is what you speak of. And the way they do it, interestingly enough, I could show you, I've got like 28 different videos of them speaking Tamil, telling their testimony. And what'll happen is the gospel will not be in this village, not be in this area at all, period. It's not there. And then a person will see a vision. They'll see Christ in a vision. And he'll see Christ in a vision, and he will leave his family, because in a Hindu family you can't be a follower of Christ. And one of these guys I remember in particular told me in his testimony in Tamil, and then it gets translated, but he said I left my family, and 2 weeks later this man, who is a man in our network, came to the village and was looking for an open door, but a man of peace, and he had a Becoming a Disciple booklet, and so that guy now has a church in that village. It's one of the villages I went to see. So 2 weeks after he sees a vision, he gets the Becoming a Disciple booklet and what it means to becoming a disciple. And he said he never knew what a disciple meant was an adherent, a follower of Christ. He didn't know that. He talked about the metamorphosis process in the Romans 12, 1 and 2, about the renewing of your mind. So this guy had clearly been through the first book. And he was basically been teaching out of it for about a year and a half. So his story is only about a year and a half old. And he had two churches, by the way. Two churches. I think they maybe had 20, 25 people in them.
Mine isn't really a question. It's just an observation about Build and more about God himself. And as I thought about my own life, I wrote my own life story here a few years ago. I thought back over it and all the things, the revelations that I've had. I came to the understanding that, and I had to go back to my old math years and years and years ago, but there was a word, an axiom, that we learned in math. And I thought that that's would apply here. And so when you look up Webster's definition of an axiom, is an unprovable rule or first principle accepted as true because it is self-evident or particularly useful. And what I'm thinking about is the fact that how many people, leaders, important people in God's churches throughout the world, have said that they've really struggled in their own soul on knowing how to do church right. And when they saw the materials that Build had and how the first century's churches functioned, a light came on. Even Steve Kemp, I remember him saying when he you know, he was in the education university program, and yet he knew that there was something wasn't quite right. And yet when he saw what Bill was doing, he knew in his heart that that was right. And we've heard testimony of a lot of people that have said just that. Mm-hmm. They knew in their heart when they saw it that this is the way church is to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you that there was one particular day, I think I've shared it already in another setting, but you talk about unreached, unengaged people groups. When I was I didn't sleep the night before because I was on a plane ride from Bangkok, and I land at like 5 o'clock, 5 a.m. on a 4-hour flight from Bangkok, and the guy's picking me up at 7 a.m., and he drops me back off at 8 o'clock at night. And so I get up at 6:30, lay down for a little bit, get up, and I get to the, and I'm just fit to be tied because I'm on the last few days of my, but I go to these slums, and when you start hearing all these testimonies about people that they, how God breaks into a village, how God breaks into a slum, how God breaks into a shadow city, is through visions, through dreams. I mean, I heard that over, if I heard it once, I heard it 10 times from these testimonies when I traveled around in those slums that day. And then you hear what follows up. But that's the beginning part of the story. That's the breakthrough. That's the tip of the spear. And then you hear that they somehow get the curriculum in their hands. Now you tell me how that happens. Really? I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm complaining about a plane ride and not getting sleep. And these guys have not had the gospel in their families, their entire generation of their entire families, ever. And God breaks through in a vision. I mean, it's incredible. And now they're actually trying to figure out what a family means, and they're trying to establish each other in the faith. And he's trying to do less podium preaching. He's trying to figure out how to do more dialogue, and that's a big thing, because because that's not what he knows. So that's that guy that I'm thinking of. It'll take him 10 years to journey to actually figure that out. But all right, any other questions, comments? I hope what this does is moves the needle of your confidence and understanding of what we do this much. I'm not going to expect this much this morning, but I expect this much. One degree more warmer of confidence of what we're actually doing. All right, let's pray. Lord, you have given us a sphere of work to do, and I ask that you would give us a stronger and deeper understanding of that work. Lord, there's times where we maybe doubt and we sit back and we say, is this really true? Is any of this really happening? Did you really send your son? Have you really been at this from the beginning? Have you really been trying to restore your people back to yourself as your family? Are you really going to gather us together as a family when you come back, and we're going to have a big banquet feast, and everybody's going to be sitting at a great big table? Is that really going to happen? With all the things happening in our world, and all the messages, and all the things that are happening, is this really true? Can we really believe this? And so, Lord, I pray for a confidence, a humbleness, with a confidence that this is what you're doing, this is what you've given us to do, and that we be faithful to it. Lord, I pray for our family. I pray for a hedge of protection around us, because Lord, I know that the evil one wants to come in. He wants to drive a wedge in between us. He wants to uproot us. He wants to create divisions and fractions and not a one-mindedness about what you're doing. And he wants to cast doubt that this is your plan. So Lord, I pray for each and every individual. I pray for each and every family. I pray for our entire church. I pray for our entire church network family. Lord, that from the taxi driver to us all the way on the other side of the world here, that you would bind us together, knit us together, until we see your face all together again. So we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I was just talking to Kevin about your place in Alexandria. Is that the name of the place, Kevin? But about the temperature of the water, because I got to tell you some back context story here. But I live on the Des Moines River. Remember that? And I have a pontoon boat. It's an awesome pontoon boat, 115 horse. Four-blade prop, 21 pitch. Oh, she really gets out of the water fast. But for a pontoon, I mean, still a pontoon boat. But nevertheless, I park it in front of my planter on the farm, and so I had to get my planter out, so I had to hook the boat up first. And so when I hooked the boat up, I said, I'll just take the boat to the river. And so I took it to the river, and I think I'm going to go skiing today. So we're going to make this real short. It's 49 degrees, according to the... So I don't know how long the human body can last in 49-degree water. I plan not to be in the water that long. I plan to be in it and then get out of it and then fall. But 49 degrees, we can... Somebody should Google that and figure out how long I can survive in the water. But anyway, let's just find out. Ah, I'm near the end. We can push stop and get out. Okay. Anyway, good morning. Spring. I love it. I'm going to give you a family update here first, and then I'll tell you what we're going to talk about this morning. But I like doing these family updates, a little bit of touch base on what's going on and where we're at with finances. So here's where we're at. Tomorrow we're going to have two leaders meetings, an apostolic team meeting at 6 o'clock to 7:30, and then an all leaders from 7:30 to 9. And we will be talking about Easter Love Feast, which is next Sunday morning. Budget for, are we on the right week, Don? Week 14? That's this week, or last week. Okay. Should be 127. And we're at 96. So I think since the last time I stood up here, we've lost some. No, that's not the right way to say it. We've gone backwards some. So I just want to keep this in front of you. It's just like I view it. It's like your family household budget. You need as much income as you have expenses. Unless you go, so you don't want to go the other way. So I want to keep this in front of you. We want to shepherd this well. People give out of the thankfulness of their heart. Next, and another family update. Next Sunday, Easter Love Feast, and we talked about this some at our leaders' basketball thing that we had, but we're gonna talk about this tomorrow night together, but it's going to go 8:30 to 12:30, okay? And meal and singing will be about 90 minutes, table sharing. I'm just going to skate over the surface here because we'll talk more about it tomorrow, but Jeff and I had a chance to talk this week, And this is the outline that he'd like to see. So table sharing, singing around a resurrection theme, and then teaching, discussion, and apostolic reporting. So we did discuss a little bit about churches maybe having some reporting, but I think what we're going to do is have some reports from the apostolic team. And 1 Corinthians teaching, sharing reflections on 1 Corinthians. So for your churches tonight, this second bullet here underneath the teaching and discussion is sharing on reflections. We want people to share from what's happened in their understanding of 1 Corinthians. Just an open, unplanned, people can just sit at the table and just share. And they can stand up if they want. They can come up front if they want, but they certainly don't have to. The story we've been going through in our churches, Caleb had a teaching on it, so if there's reflections you want to talk about there, open, add, unplanned, that should say and, unplanned sharing. And then we'll see some reports. Randy, you don't know this, but now you do. USA City Church update. Steve's going to do some Antioch School stuff and Bible starts. And okay. So that's what's going to happen next Sunday. Next Sunday. Okay. So we're not here to talk about boating. We're not here to talk about spring. This is what I want to talk about this morning. I want to help you continue to understand our work in this world, why we exist and what we're doing. And I'll drill down a little bit more on what that means. But I want to give you understanding and confidence in our work. I think this is, I think sometimes it's easy for us to I just want to give us another step of confidence in what we're doing. Sometimes I think it's hard to explain. I'm thinking about Easter, and my family's now trying to plan an afternoon and evening of Easter because we're going to have the morning of Easter here. And so, and when I think about that, I think sometimes my family says, "So, what are you guys doing in your churches?" And you have about a 90-second window to explain what you do. And so, we're an apostolic team, moves around the world. No, you just lost them. So that's on my mind. I want to give us confidence in who we are, what we're doing. And I want to incorporate, I want to give a report. I want to share from my recent trip that I took a week or so ago. So I want to get started with these questions. How many questions are there? 1, 2, 5 bullets. So let's see if I can do this well. Why don't this wedge right here, this wedge right here, take the first question, the first bullet. And that is, what is build, and how do you explain build to somebody new? I'm talking about build. This is build right here. What is build, and how do you explain it to someone new? And if you're new, this is perfect, because you don't have to say anything. You can say, that makes absolutely no sense to me. Okay, this wedge right here, you guys have to figure out where that cutoff is. I'll just draw it right in between you. How does build relate to the City Church Ames Des Moines, or how does the City Church Ames Des Moines relate to build? Both the same question, but I'd like you guys to do that bullet. And third, somewhere right here, what was Paul's team's main work? How would you summarize that team's work? What did they do? I would like you to talk about, what did Paul's team do? Just in big picture form, what would you say some of the things Paul's team did? What does Paul's team do? Can you get that? Okay, and somewhere in the wedge in the middle here, take the second to last one. Big vision. What does the build team do when working around the world? And then, like, when I say big vision, I mean like 30,000 feet. Like, what is the big ideas that that we're trying to do around the world. And then right here, take the last one. Very practically, very, very, as practically as you can get. Same question. What does Build Team do when working around the world? Can you do that? All right. Talk about it a little bit, then we'll come back.